Okay, so I think I've got it. I mean, I've got my screen shared here. I can see Pat Delmore is in the waiting room. It is recording already, BTW, but I can ask because I wanted to get it started. So it says the meeting's already recording, but I can, they gave me a link when I met with that IT guy this morning that I can ask them to edit. You know, like down like the first part. So I'll go back and be like, okay, I want you to edit to when we, the time we actually started the meeting. Because, like, in order to actually do this, I have to start the meeting. And, you know, I kind of want to be prepared. Otherwise, you get to 4:30 and, like, oh, I can do that. Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. So where do I go to do that? How do I see that? Because now I'm sharing my screen. So how do you see the? There. Oh, there we go. So does that pause the recording? Your screen sharing has paused. I guess that stops the recording. Okay, I guess, because there's resume. Oh, we'll find out. This will be cool because I'll go back and listen to the recording and see. Well, no, I don't need to. I don't need to. I mean, I'll just press that. I'm going to give it a few more minutes. Should I start? When should you start admitting them? Like 5 minutes before? Okay. Okay. See yours now. That looks right because it's green now. I would think that makes sense. Well, yeah, what does this little symbol? Yeah, recording to the cloud. I mean, should I be admitting them like 10 minutes, 5 minutes? Should I admit them now? What do you think? Start admitting them? Right. Oh, here he is over here. Hi, Pat. Can you hear me? Am I muted? Oh, he might be muted. Are we using the right? Yeah, okay. So he's probably looking at the agenda. So how do you, so all these people are going to show up over here. If he wants to talk, how do I get him to talk? Okay, so how do we do that? Hi, Pat, can you hear me? Nope. How about a chat, something like, well, look, pause, stop recording, okay. Okay. So here. Yeah.
Maybe you can chat with them, say hey, but
Are you using the correct link? Because he needs to use the one that I sent him from this invitation. Unless I sent the wrong one. It can't be, though, because I sent the one from. I don't have his telephone number. Oh, where's the chat?
It's up.
Oops, wrong thing. Mute participants upon entry. There we go. We can take that off. Allow participants to unmute themselves. Pat, can you hear me now? He can't even see me. I'm going to turn my video on. Maybe I can do that. La 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 la. I'm going to stop sharing. Pat, can you hear me? He can't hear you. It says, are you connected to audio now, Pat? Okay, there we go. Okay, I have unmuted you. Can you hear me, Pat?
Yes, I can.
Woo! Okay, so I was worried we weren't going to have sound or you weren't going to be able to participate. Okay, good. Now I'm going to try resharing my screen and make sure when I do that, that I can still see you and hear you.
Okay.
Over in your little world. You're probably not going to see me, but
yes.
Let's make sure this works.
Okay.
Okay, so you see the water utility board thing now?
I do.
Okay, fantastic. And I can hear you now, so that's good. I was worried before that I wasn't going to be able to hear you. Okay,
all right.
Good. All right, so you're the only one we got so far. I'm not seeing not seeing anyone else in the waiting room. Yeah, I don't see a chat option. Okay, well, we'll just wait for everyone else then. Oh, here,
Okay.
Deborah's here. No, I don't think it did it? No, I don't see her. She didn't pop up over.
I just see her name coming up.
Okay. Is there a way to have like the panel of participants down the side that I can see?
Yeah, I have a panel down the side. I think it's under view options.
Okay. Show thumbnail video. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Okay, so here it's giving me the option to unmute her if I need to. Should you think I should just unmute our board members all together at once or just leave them muted? I should leave them muted, otherwise I could be coughing and that they're muted. Right. Yeah, I need to do that. Yeah. But I think I might leave Pat unmuted. Maybe just because he's like the main guy.
Jody, just for your
Yes.
information, in the past, we actually unmuted all the board members.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, if you wanted me to unmute everybody or to leave them muted.
I think unmute them.
Okay. I am in the process of unmuting all of our board members. I'll leave Doran. Okay, there's Dora. Who is this guy? That's Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, it's Rob Givens. I'm on my wife's computer.
Okay. And Rob, are you signing in to speak this evening on behalf of something?
Yes, I signed in.
Oh, that's right. You wanted to make a comment on behalf of the okay. We'll get to you during public comment then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. It says unmute. I forgot about him, Robin Gibbons. I forgot he was coming. Now we got a lot of people coming in here. How can I see more of these people?
I think they have turned their cameras on.
Is that a requirement?
I think for the board members.
Okay. Okay, so I'm currently unmuting our board members only at this time, and President Delmore has requested board members turn cameras on. Thank you for your patience tonight, as this is our first virtual meeting in a long time.
Well, okay.
Hello, Deb.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello, Eric.
Okay. All right, so we're just waiting for, I guess it's all our board members. Okay. All right, so we have Deborah, we have Robbie, we Yes, Eric, you have your hand raised. Oh, yes. Oh, yep, you're unmuted
Thank you. That was it.
now. Yes. How did that happen? Yep. It keeps muting. So I'm seeing that it keeps. So President Delmore has asked that board members remain unmuted and have their cameras on, was the request. Yes. All right, so it looks like we do have a quorum, President Elmore.
Okay, and I see Eric and Deb and myself. Who else is here with the board?
Charles, Alder Miadze is here as well.
Okay, great. Okay, since we do have a quorum,
And
let's get
Abraham
started.
Biam. Yep.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate your work, Jody, and bringing this about. It's been a while since we've done the virtual meetings. So I think we start our meeting with an announcement, and if you'd like
Yes.
to do the
Yes.
announcement.
Thank you. A friendly reminder that this meeting is being recorded. The recording will be published online and is a public record subject to disclosure. Board members and staff, by continuing to be present in this meeting, you are consenting to being recorded and consenting to this recording being released to public record. We will now take verbal roll call. President Delmore,
Here.
Vice President Simon,
Here.
Secretary Abrahamian,
Here.
Alder Latimer Burris, absent. Alder Miadze.
Present.
Board Member Strozier, absent. Board Member Callisto.
Here.
Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay. And our first order of business is approval of the minutes from last month. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from last month?
Let's call
So
the
moved.
meeting to all. We should call the meeting to order at
Okay.
4:34 before we do that, I think.
All right, thank you. And with approval of the minutes, we have Robbie recommending approval. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a second by Eric. And without objection, we will approve the minutes.
Oops.
Jody, do we have any public comments?
Hold on. Yes, we do. We have I'm sorry. We have Robin Gibbons here with us. I'm going to unmute him now. He would like to say a few words to the board.
Okay. I think public comments are 3 minutes, so thank you, and we look forward to your comments.
Yes,
What
it
did you
shows
think?
Deborah. That's my wife's computer, but I'm Rob Gibbons. I live at 4258 Manitou Way in the Nokomis neighborhood, and I just wanted to speak up. I spoke with Marcus Pearson and the unit number 10, which is not operational, was in disrepair and needing of cleaning up and painting. And so I contacted Marcus, and he turned me to Pete Holmgren, who immediately pressure washed the building, and then shortly thereafter they painted the trim and cleaned the driveway and did some other maintenance work on there. And I just wanted to say I met Mike McKenna out there, and his boss is Doug Van Horn. I just wanted to give kudos to everybody involved. I think that public servants don't get enough, people are quick to complain but not to congratulate. And I just wanted to commend the department for a professional job and getting on it really quickly. And so I was a city engineer in a former life, so I feel it's important to give positive feedback when it's due. And that's what I wanted to do. I live the station's right across from my house, and people walk down Mohawk and Manitou Way quite a bit, walking their dogs and such. And many people have spoken to me and given positive feedback on what a good job they did and how quickly they responded. So I just wanted to say thank you personally and for the neighborhood. And that's really all I had to say.
Well, thank you very much. And we appreciate your your positive comments, and also kudos to the staff that you mentioned and others that made the desired changes very quickly. So
yes,
thank
and
you.
It looks really good, and so that's why I wanted to get on, and so that's about it.
Raise your hand.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Okay.
I think Krishna would like to make a comment to our speaker as well. He's on his way back. Here's Krishna.
Okay.
Hi, and thank you for taking the time to come and share your kind words. Staff really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public comments, Jody?
No, there are no other public comments.
Okay. On to disclosures and recusals. Does anyone have anything to state in that area?
Your Honor, or Mr. Chairman, I do. This is Eric Callisto. My law firm, Michael Best and Friedrich, does represent various parties in PFAS matters. I don't think we are representing anybody that's relevant on this discussion. Out of an abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse myself from new business matter number two.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. And seeing no other comments in this area, we will now move on, I guess, to new business, which is the PFAS settlements. And Krishna, are you presenting on this? Or I see the city attorney is here.
Yeah. I'm Doran Visti. I'm from the city attorney's office. I'd be presenting on this one here tonight. I was before the board last October for a very similar matter. At that time, we brought before the board that is, at that point, we'd been made party or were asking the board to just look at the first two PFAS settlements, which involved 3M and DuPont. At that time, we were approaching the deadlines to opt out of the national multidiscipline litigation settlement proposals. The city has stayed in those. We've since filed our claims in those two proposals. If the board will recall, essentially every drinking water claim that was filed in federal court was all consolidated to one district court in South Carolina over the past couple of years. The various manufacturers and the class representatives have been striking settlements. The first two big ones, which involved the main manufacturers, was 3M and DuPont. Now we're getting kind of, I would call, stragglers, although they're still big settlements. The amounts are getting lesser and lesser. The two that came in the past couple of months involved two other smaller manufacturers of PFAS materials. It was Tyco. That was a $750 million settlement. And BASF, a $312 million settlement. That compares with, I think, 3M was roughly 10 to 12 million. And I think DuPont was maybe in the 2 to 3 million category. So they're getting smaller
billion,
and smaller.
Billion.
I'm sorry, billion. Yeah, yeah. They were much, much larger. Those other ones were much larger. So we're dealing with a lot smaller scope, which means that city's potential settlements are going down as a result. They're using the same methodology as far as calculating the potential payment for the city. As you can see on the memo, based upon the way that these numbers are calculated, we're estimating that our share of these settlements for Tyco and BASF would be roughly $212,000. That compares with our estimate of $3.5 million for the 3M and DuPont settlements. So certainly a magnitude less, but at this point, the city's staff's recommendation that we still remain in the litigation, that we have more to gain by staying in the litigation rather than opting out. We don't think that the city has much to proceed by essentially opting out and going alone against these two providers. So basically here back before the board, just kind of updating you on these additional settlements, our additional recommendation to stay in the class. Fortunately, because of the way these are structured, I believe that we can just use our previously filed settlement, our settlement documentation for these two. So it shouldn't really be much additional work for the water utility. And that's kind of where things stand. So I guess if there's any questions about, I guess, where we're at with the PFAS litigation, these class settlements, I guess feel free. I can do my best to answer them.
Okay. Any questions?
Alder Miadze has his hand raised.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, thank you so much for updating us about that. I was just wondering, there was somebody that brought up the fact of, you know, making sure that, you know, people that might be affected by PFAS to have some kind of, you know, like seek medical attention or just to be involved in a lawsuit as if they've been affected by it. Is that still something that I know this is about? I think when I read it, it was more about using the money towards cleanup or, you know, that kind of aspect of it. But, you know, sometimes lawsuits involve making sure that if people are affected by it, right, get help, you know, or some kind of a community health programs that might just something. So, I mean, are you thinking of anything that can help somebody that's been affected or a community that has been affected by using funds to do it that way?
Well, this settlement is purely addressing the drinking water issues and the costs incurred by municipal drinking water suppliers to essentially remediate the PFAS out of the drinking water. For example, this would include the PFAS treatment facility at Well 15. So it's going to involve those things. As I'm sure you've been following, the state hopefully will be creating stricter standards in the near future. So there's going to be a lot more treatment across the board that's going to be required. So these funds are not meant to address those other sort of issues you were talking about. This is the PFAS manufacturer's payment to essentially attempt to partially remediate. Obviously, they can't do a full remediation. That would probably take a lot more assets. But this was the settlement that was reached. Certainly, the city on its own could come up with other ways to spend PFAS money. I know that, you know, that's a big thing with the state right now, between the state or the governor and the legislature, about how to spend various PFAS settlements. But this particular settlement is only regarding the drinking water fixes that we need to do.
Thank you. Okay. What the city, do you think that the city would entertain, I guess, being a part of the attorney group? I mean, do you think that they would entertain any kind of community health projects or that might?
There are a lot of other PFAS cases going on. The only ones that the manufacturers have settled so far, I believe, are just these drinking water ones. I would expect the next ones to go will probably be the ones related to the firefighting foam and exposure to firefighters and that sort of thing. So after that, I mean, there's still certainly civil lawsuits that private individuals can bring against them. And I think there's numerous ones of those as well. So I just think this was probably their first one and probably their easiest, because it's just about calculating, you know, how much it costs to install a filter system and replace, equipment at various wells and things like that.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Other comments or questions? Okay. Seeing none, it's the recommendation of the attorney and the staff to remain in the settlement class and not opt out. Do we have a motion to move in that direction, to accept or remain in the settlement class and not opt out?
Alder Miadze has raised his hand. I believe that means you want to move. Is that correct, Miadze?
Yes, stay within the lawsuit.
Okay, he makes the motion.
And do we have a second?
Deb seconds, yes.
Okay. And all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. And so the ayes have it, and we will remain in the lawsuit. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Next, we have the capital and operating budget requests, and there are numerous items attached, and I'd like to commend the staff for the work they put into it in creating what I think is a pretty readable document on some pretty complex operations and requests. So let's see, who is our presenter to start us out?
It's something on your end.
Mine. Sorry, I'm not sure if I'm mute or not. But definitely I can present. And this is really all thanks to Krishna's help too, because he really foretook setting up the template so that way if it's clear for you guys, and I'm glad it's working out well. But here you'll see that this is our 2025 capital and operating budget request. To kind of summarize it, for our operating budget, we are requesting $48.8 million in operating expenses. So we are looking at about $23.8 million for operations and maintenance, $18.6 million for debt services, and $6.4 million in payment to the city in lieu of taxes. And the bulk of our operating expenses increased by $200,000. From 2024, overall, due to supplies, costs increase in supplies and services. With that, we do also plan to transfer about $6.2 million from the operating fund to the construction fund in 2025 and also hold $800,000 for tank coat repainting. We also are budgeting about $54 million in revenues. So we'll have a net ending fund balance of about $6.4 million in our operating fund. I've attached some details about the actual operating budget. So feel free to peruse that. It will go into all of the different categories of revenues and expenditures for the operating. With that, I'll move on to construction fund and then answer any questions you may have. For 2025, we are requesting $12 million for the capital improvement program, of which $6.3 million is for water main programs, $3 million is for facility improvement, $1.3 million is for vehicles and equipment, and then $1.4 million is for other projects and ongoing program. This $12 million is going to be funded with $800,000 from safe drinking water loan and $5 million from expense depreciation, and then $6.2 million from our reserves. We are expecting a ending fund balance of $4.5 million in our construction fund. I've also included with the attachment the details of the capital budget request too. So that will break down, again, the revenue, the expenditures by categories, and go into more details of what is in each capital projects. With that, was there any questions that I may be able to answer?
Okay. Eric, question?
Yeah, thank you. I got a couple of questions. Maybe I'll just put them all out there, and then we can take them in whatever order you think is best. So the $6.2 million transfer from operating to construction, can you just explain that to me a little bit more? I assume that's from the reserves, as you said. Is
yes.
that a common practice?
Yes. We are transferring that 6.2, which is to cover part of that $12 million capital project.
Jenny and Jody, could you please pull up the fund balance statement?
Yes. Please. It's attachment C.
Let's walk through that slowly. Can you? Yes, stop right there. So January was answering, but I want to add a basic point. So the 6.2 million transfer comes out of operational reserves, meaning our operational revenues and expenditures create that $6 million as a surplus. And typically for water utilities, you use it for construction activity. I mean, that's the kind of one of the principal sources of funding for construction activity. So the source is operating revenues.
And I was just, and maybe this is just more philosophical. I'm trying to understand that $6.2 million transfer from what I'll call profits with the approval of the Public Service Commission to have a depreciation expense or what I'll call similar costs. I guess I'm just trying to make sure that this isn't anything that would get flagged in your next rape case. That's something that would give them concern.
Not
no,
really. So going back to the GAAP, the meaning GAAP accounting basis. So the governments use a modified accounting basis. So where we don't have essentially cash flow budgeting, meaning, you know, what revenues comes in, we expend it. And for PSC purposes, they allow a certain rate increase, taking into account depreciation. They come out in a totally different approach to allow us the revenues. So the other associated element, Eric, is this. If we don't have that surplus, let's say rates were lower and we didn't have the surplus, then we go and borrow money. And to repay that money, we need rate increases. So either you get rate increases for creating the surplus or funding your debt payment. Either way, the surplus stays within the utility and funds construction costs. And you can't dial it exactly to one point. For example, our line of business is so heavily dependent on weather. So if you have 2 months of consecutive warm weather, the revenues would go up that particular year. And if you have a fairly rainy year, it will go down. So there is going to be a fluctuation. So, I mean, that's how it is. And also, this is why I wanted to bring this up. The 2022 actual is a great basis. So we had 8.6 as our opening fund balance. So if you put in all the revenues and less the expenditures, and we transferred a smaller amount, 1.5, and we transferred to bond repayment. Remember, we had 20 million bond payment to be made. So we moved another 5 million to the bond payment. So we ended up using a net of 2 million that year, but it still has 6.2. So those dynamics would get repeated each year. The elements would be different. For example, we completely paid off that bond, the 20 million band bond that we had. So then we didn't have to use it. So the entire this year we had surplus of, in 2022, we had a surplus of 6.5, 1.5 into construction, 5 into bond payment. This year, we don't have that bond payment, so 7 million was the surplus, 6.2 into construction, and we are starting a new process of creating a reserve for tank repayment. Because tank repayments are a very expensive item, you cannot plan for $2.4 million in 1 year. It will upset your budget. So if you can squirrel away $800,000 each year, so the third year when you actually do the tank recoat, it's less pressure on your budget. So these elements are the moving parts of an enterprise fund. They do keep changing. But so this is, I mean, we didn't have this kind of a fund balance statement before. We created this to capture those dynamic flows in a very visual fashion.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. Maybe I'll talk to you about it offline a little bit. I just want to make sure I understand it in advance of the upcoming rate case filing.
Absolutely.
I have a couple more questions, Mr. Chairman, if that's okay.
Yes, go ahead.
On page 25 of the materials, there's a discussion. It's in the water finance and administration category, and it talks about an interdepartmental transfer of $440,000. An additional $440,000, I believe. I'm just trying to understand what that is.
DOD is magically trying to get us to 25.
Which document is it? Attachment B, attachment C, which one
it's
are you?
The one that's 100 plus pages long, so I'm not sure which one it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the document.
This one? This one?
No.
Yeah.
This one?
Correct.
Okay. Page 25. Oh, my. Doesn't seem...
Right there. Eric, is this the page?
Doesn't look like it.
So that may not be the case.
It's operating budget. It's not capital. It's operating. It's not capital.
That's just the fund balance. So.
Is this the operating budget? Yes. Yeah. 25. Then it loads up. There you are. The previous page, you're in 27, 26, maybe one more page behind. Is that the one, Eric? Doesn't look like.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to tell you. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at a printed version.
Okay. Can you repeat the question without seeing it on
yep,
the screen?
I can get it. He's looking at the agenda packet, so let me grab that real quick.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's a change, it's a positive change of $440,000 for what's in category 58, interdepartmental billing. Oh. And I just want to understand what that category is.
Yeah.
And says a new MOU was signed in 2023.
Oh, okay. Is this the interdepartmental billing MOU, generally?
Yes, the sewer and stormwater billing. Yes.
All right. So I can respond to that. So Eric, for a couple of decades at least, Madison Water Utility has been the billing agency for four, five other city departments who all provide different municipal services. So we have water, there is a division in engineering, city engineering, sewer departments, so they bill for sewer, and then stormwater, forestry, recycle program charges. So we bill those each year, and they refund us for our costs. So we bill them for a time and labor, so we are cost neutral. Generally, what's the total annual collection under that head, if you remember? 1.6 million or something, roughly.
Let's see. Yeah, in the millions. I mean, so we are collecting all of these that are not considered to be our revenue, and then we're in turn.
And okay, so the 400,000 should be because of some increased services coming our way? Generally.
Yes.
We are now
billing. So it's a flow through of what you're collecting for their cost.
It is,
there's
it
an
is,
increase.
It is. Yes. Okay. Absolutely cost neutral.
Okay, that's all I need. Thank you. One final question. This is more of a high level question, but anecdotally, just following the mayor's proposed cuts, if we don't have a referendum that goes through, I think I've observed accurately that the water utility has not been described as an entity subject to the cuts. Is that accurate?
Absolutely, yes.
Is that because of the funding source and the commission, the PSCW's regulation of the same?
Beyond the commission, which is also a factor, but we are a standalone enterprise fund where we collect our revenues and we spend it. Even if we cut 5%, those savings cannot flow back into general fund of the city, which is where there is a deficit, not in the water enterprise fund.
Has there been any discussion from the city of increasing the pilot payment, given the city's financial situation?
No, sir. No such proposal has been floated. And also, the pilot payments are tied to a fairly arcane formula. You cannot change based on any other factors other than what is legally allowed and how we compute the pilot.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had. Thank you.
Okay. Deb, you have some questions?
I have one question. So I was noticing that you've changed your services a little bit. It says due to results, Madison service restructure. I was just curious, is that like a citywide effort to change services, or what is results, Madison, I guess?
Yeah, it is a city. It's a citywide agency request to provide more details for our services to kind of align our expenditures and revenues to what our goals and services are. So we did split out with water customer service and, you know, with communication and outreach, those were split out. And so that's why you don't see the details from the 22 actuals and to the 2025.
Can I, if I can add a little bit more, Deb, on that? So Results Madison started January, 5 years ago, roughly. The program started about 4 or 5 years. And so several departments have they're trying to get 5 or 6 departments each year to enroll in that. I don't think water has formally enrolled in Results Madison yet. Mm-hmm. So the ultimate goal is for budgeting to align with city's stated overarching goals. For example, you know, whatever are the 5 or 6. So what is it that city wants to accomplish in any one given year? And how do these city budgets align with those stated goals? So it's kind of a very involved exercise where you should start budgeting according to those goal-based buckets and then track them and report the results. So ultimately, we should be able to say if the stated goal of this, one of the stated goals for the city is building 25,000 new units, how each of the departments contributed to that goal. So they're trying to line up both the stated goal, the budgeting, and the actual result. We are not yet part of that formal process.
Okay. I guess I do have one other question. I noticed there's a couple reclassifications in here. Are those positions that are filled, or are those vacant positions that you're reclassifying?
Vacant.
Vacant?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, do we have a motion to approve the capital and operating budget request? Okay, Charles
is raising his hand.
Okay, Charles, is that a motion to approve? I think you're muted, Charles. Okay, there we go.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second? Robbie, a second? All those in favor of approving the capital and operating budget, say aye.
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 Any objections? Seeing none, it's approved. Thank you. Okay. On to our next item, which is authorizing the mayor and city clerk to execute a contract amendment with Short, Elliott, and Hendrickson to extend their contract terms with the utility. Okay.
Adam is here.
Okay. Krishna?
Adam will do that.
Okay, Adam.
Thank you. And everyone, good evening. My name is Adam Wiederhaupt. I'm the design and construction engineer in our engineering section. I'm filling in for Chief Engineer Pete Holmgren tonight, who's not able to make it. This item is a pretty straightforward request. So we are requesting, as the title states, a contract amendment with Short, Elliott, Hendrickson, who is our design consultant engineer on the Well 19 iron, manganese, and radium treatment plant project. So we've been working with them on this contract since May of 2022. And they provided design and planning as well as bidding and now construction administration services throughout the life of this project. And when we initially entered into this contract agreement with them in 2022, we had planned for construction to be completed at the end of 2024. As everyone's aware, the project had now started construction, but between some of those supply chain issues and labor shortage issues that we've experienced kind of industry-wide over the last couple of years, the contract was set up with the construction completion date occurring next summer into 2025. So this request before you today is just to amend the existing services agreement we have with Short Elliott Hendrickson and extend their contract duration from the end of 2024 into the end of 2025 so they can be with us through the duration of the project and through its final kind of wrap-up phase after construction is completed. There will be no fiscal impacts as a result of this. It's just strictly extending the contract duration by 1 year.
Questions for Adam? Okay. Seeing none, is there a motion to approve this request? Okay. Charles is motioning to approve. And Eric is supporting it. And any questions or discussion before we vote? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no opposition, so it is approved. Okay.
Thank
we
you.
We now go to our next item, authorizing a non-competitive contract with Cummings Incorporated to provide planned generator maintenance for the utility through 2028.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to be presenting this. Again, this is one of those normal run-of-the-mill items also. We are asking to amend, in this case, renew our contract with Cummins Inc. for generator maintenance for the water utility. We have utilized them since 2019, and so we would like to continue to use them until December 31st of 2028, not to exceed $58,751 for the next coming 5 years.
Okay. And just January for information, we rent generators from, is it MG&E for some of our pumping facilities?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think Dan can probably confirm that. I just know that we use generators at our various sites to run the deep wells and the boosters.
Yeah, we MG&E has sited generators. I believe they did it, started it in 1999 on our properties, and they actually have the ability to turn those on whenever needed if there's a load on the grid at those 10 sites. So we're taken off the grid to help out during times of extreme, you know, energy usage, and with that, we actually receive. Money back for that. So it's a good deal for us. Keeps us in service if there's an event, you know, an emergency event. But this this maintenance agreement is for the generators the water utility owns. And we have 10 of those at different locations. And our maintenance staff operates those every month. We run them as we should to exercise them, make sure everything is working properly. And then we have N. Cummins come in annually and perform any maintenance that is required for each of these generators. They go through a checklist. They do oil sampling, fuel sampling. We want to make sure that those are ready to go when needed. So that is what this contract is for.
Okay. Thank you for that information. Other questions or comments? Is there a motion to approve this request? Deb moves to approve. Is there a second? And there may be a second that I can't see on the screen. Okay, Eric moves to second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And any opposition? Seeing none, it's approved. Okay, we now move on to the next item, a series of reports related to, first of all, the water production monthly report. And Joe, are you going to present?
Okay, sorry. I needed Jody to unmute me there. There we go. Sorry for that technical lapse. Attachment A, Jody, if you could, please. There we go. Okay. In terms of daily production for the month of July, we had 25.4 million gallons per day was our average. Put on the bottom row there, or bottom line, I should say, system total, 25.4 million gallons per day is our average. That was slightly up from the month before, but not by much, just a little bit. That gave us a regional surplus of 14.1 million gallons per day in July. I think our regional surplus last June was about 14.2, I think. So real close. June and July were very close in terms of pumpage. In terms of year-to-date, in billions of gallons, as of July 31st, 2024, we pumped 5.1 billion gallons, compared to last year, 5.4 billion gallons at this time. That's about 6.8% down from last year. So pumpage is lower this year so far. And most of that is because of precipitation. In July, we had 8.2 inches. Which was about 4 inches more than normal. And year to date, at the end of July, we were at 33 inches and normally we're at 23 inches. So excess rain has is the main reason our pumpage is down. Go to attachment D, please, Jody. In terms of year to date utilization, I guess it'd be second from the right column. We have four red wells. These are the same four red wells that we had last month, although we have gotten these numbers down slightly by about 1% each. So we're working on them. There's just some wells out of service, and that's why those four wells are above 50%. Let's see. Overall, 38.7% for the entire system was our utilization. So not even 40%. So a good surplus as of this year, probably one of the better years we've had so far since I've been here. In the 16 years I've been here, this is probably one of our best years in terms of having extra water available if we needed it. In terms of remaining drawdown in the wells, with the rain, all the levels are good and sustainable for the near future. And that's it for production for the month of July. Any questions?
Okay. Any questions for Joe? Okay, seeing none, we can move on to our financial condition report.
All right. So with this, we'll just kind of quickly scroll down to the little summary at the back of that memo, Jody. You'll see here we have our MADCAP data summary as of August 12th. Again, we're creeping up to almost 500 applicants for the MADCAP data, just in case you guys wanted to look at that data there. As Joe mentioned, you know, pumpage is down. Our water revenue is then down a little bit. So with that, we'll go into the actual details that's provided here. Our total revenue year to date is about 29.6, so rounding up 30 million right there. Our total expenditures as of July, we're looking at about 24.4 million, leaving us with a net operating fund of 5.2 million with our anticipated transfers out and so forth. Our ending fund balance is about 14.7 million year to date. And with that, if you scroll down a little bit, we'll go to the construction fund. We're looking at about 17.3 million in capital revenue. offset with the $21.3 million in capital expenditures and encumbrances. So that leaves us with the net ending construction fund balance of $524,000. But you can see to the next column that our projected numbers for 2024 will be much, much higher than what that is shown right now year to date. If you go down to then our cash reserve, our total cash and investment is $50.8 million right now, of which we have $15.2 million in unrestricted cash balances. The rest of that is held for, you know, for our expense depreciation or pilot or bonds. So we have a 1.87 ratio of months of expenditures that's covered by our operating reserves. And that is all that I then have for the financials.
Okay. Questions for January? Okay, seeing none, I think we can now move on to our next report, which is the Capital Projects Monthly Report. And Adam, are you presenting?
Yes, I am. So thanks again for your time. I have the Capital Projects Report as prepared by Pete, so I will do my best to relay everything here. So as usual, we'll kind of go over the actual expenditures and expenses that we've seen year to date, and as well as highlighting what we've covered or what we've spent this July. And then we'll provide some updates on the two major facility projects at Well 19 and Well 15. So thanks, Jody, if you wouldn't mind going to that slide right there. Perfect. So of the $21.2 or $3 million that have been either expensed or encumbered this year, about $1 million of that was in the month of July. The vast majority of that, so about $700,000, came on our pipeline projects, which is not surprising right in the middle of summer with all the road work and all the various utility replacement projects going on throughout the city. That was the brunt of our capital projects expense. The biggest projects with activity there are our Umeda Drive on the far east side, east of the interstate, new road being built, Hammersley Road, kind of on the west side behind the Home Depot, Goodwill area, and then Lowell Street reconstruction close to our office here near Monona Bay. So besides those pipeline projects, we had a few vehicle purchases. Some of the new Ford F-150 Lightning vehicles were purchased, as well as some activity in our hydrant program. And then with facility work, we had a project at our Felland Road Reservoir to install a small pump station there as part of our resiliency program that recently went online, as well as our Well 15 and 19 treatment projects. So then moving on, focusing on our pipelines that are eligible for the expense depreciation. As everyone's probably aware, we're allocated a $5 million a year target for expense depreciation pipeline replacements of our deteriorated pipelines. So to date through July, we're at about $4.3 million. Our target spend is like $655,000 away from hitting our target. And just as a note there at the bottom of the page, we've got a project that's just about to start on Starker Ave that's gonna hit that mark. So we will successfully hit our target for 2024's expense depreciation effort. Moving on to the next slide is our update on Well 19. So for this $9 million treatment project to address iron, manganese, and radium, we've been in kind of that initial preliminary stage of construction on these retrofit projects. You see a lot of kind of demolition and clearing and site work that occurs before a lot of the new stuff starts getting built. So we're kind of at that transition point. The site's pretty much prepped for the new construction. We've got a new kind of temporary access site for the facility in operation, so we don't disturb kind of the construction activities with our routine operational activities on site while it's still operating in conjunction with the construction. But we are now preparing for the concrete work for the new backwash tanks and building additions. So if anyone's familiar with the site, we had a generator kind of sitting right in the way, and we worked with MGD, and that is now swung to the side of the site, and now we are in progress with some of that new construction. So within the next couple of weeks, you'll see some new concrete and some real new looking construction on site. So that's pretty exciting from our perspective. Moving on, well 15. Again, it's on a very similar construction timeline and also pretty similar scope in the sense that it's an existing facility that we're retrofitting a new treatment system in. So a lot of the site activity on this project occurred within the building. Quite a lot of clearing out. All the former air stripper and blower equipment's been removed. The ceiling above that section of the facility has been removed, and a temporary wooden truss roof has been built to secure the site from weather. And they are now working on removing kind of the existing floor in that space. So it's a gigantic wide open space within the building, but from the outside, it looks pretty similar to how everyone's used to seeing it. From there, they're going to be working on structural reinforcement of these existing columns and distributing that reservoir into two, or actually three spaces. The backwash tank is going to be separate from the main reservoir with kind of a chamber in between the two to keep them physically separated. And then working on some of the initial plumbing configuration activities there. So overall, two of these big projects are well in motion, and the construction is getting pretty exciting from an engineering perspective. So happy to report this update.
Okay, thank you. Questions or comments for Adam? Adam, I was interested in seeing the F-150 Ford Lightning being purchased, and I assume that both the city and the water utility are investing more in electrical vehicles to the extent possible.
Yes, that's correct. I think Dan's probably the best to speak on behalf of that, but we do have a ever-increasing fleet of electric vehicles at the water utility, and it's exciting to see.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Okay. We can now move to the monthly operations report. Dan?
Yes, hello. Yeah, we do actually have one more F-150 Lightning. It should be here in the next couple of weeks. It's built, just needs to be shipped. And I expect to receive a plug-in hybrid Thursday as well. So we are continuing to move forward with electric vehicles whenever possible. And now to the operations report. Yeah, I just wanted to point out just a few things here. We've done over 1,800 flushing runs so far this year, which equals about 384 miles of the system has been flushed with a goal of 600 miles. Obviously, you can see our hydrant painting numbers are up. Between raindrops, we were able to do nearly 800 hydrants were painted in July. Moving down, we've as part of the interdirectional flushing, we do operate a lot of valves, and you can see that we're almost 7,000 valves have been operated this year, and our goal is to operate every valve every 4 to 7 years, so we're right on track there as well. And then I guess the biggest change here was the cast in place pipelining. We've been working with FERPAL, the contractor. Our crews have been working side by side with them in the installing of the pipelining in the area off of Commercial Avenue on the far east side of town, kind of near Sycamore Park, just south of Sycamore Park there in that neighborhood. And they've so far installed
lined 4,700 feet of pipe in that neighborhood, and it's in service. And they've been going back and hot patching all the ditches that we've had to put permanent patches in. They've done concrete work, curb and gutter work to get that neighborhood restored. We have one more section of main to line, and they're working on that right now. So next month, I'll probably we'll have that in service, and I'll update those numbers as well. But everything is going well on that. So I think when we're all said and done here, we'll have about a mile of pipeline this year on this project alone. I guess, does anybody have any questions for me or?
Questions for Dan? I have a question as to when new vehicles are purchased, I think that the water utility, the blue color on our vehicles creates a distinctive brand. Do you have a choice when you order new vehicles?
Yes, I try to stick to the same color close, you know, as much as possible. Sometimes they're not always available, or they're an extra charge, and I won't pay for that. But we do have some vehicles that are white, but generally speaking, I try to keep everything blue.
Okay, good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions? Okay, we now move to the public information report. And Marcus, are you presenting?
Yeah, if you can hear me. For some reason, my video does not work. They're not letting me. Sorry, my baby. Oh, here we go. All right. Hello, everyone. Always like to kind of end the meetings with some more qualitative stuff, which really brings everything together. Like I always say, quality, supply, operations, engineering, everything. I like to kind of bring that in together with a highlight, for each month. So with this, I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds with the complexities of Well 19 and the construction project itself. Adam did a great job of kind of going over the really technical moving pieces and things like that. And if you do have any questions, you can always feel free to reach out to Adam or Pete or any of the engineers. Or on our website, we actually do have a ton of good information at cityofmadison.com/water. So you can go to the Well 19 project webpage, and there's a lot of comprehensive information there for you. Other than that, as you can see here, this photo actually shows Well 19, which is, for those of you that don't know, it's located on the north side of UW campus near Eagle Heights community and off the shores of Lake Mendota. So really just like where Picnic Point is in that area, right on the right off the shores of Lake Mendota and all that kind of green space out there. So Well 19 actually pumps approximately 500 million gallons of water a year to the university and surrounding near west side neighborhoods, including the village of Shorewood Hills. So it is also a major supplier of water to UW Hospital and that entire Children's Hospital complex and all of that, plus the most of UW campus. So as you can imagine, it's a very, very important well for supply. And if we're going to be supplying, over 500 million gallons of water a year, should be clean, it should be safe. So that's what this project is really about, is removing the iron, manganese, and radium from the water. And the well facility itself was actually built in 1974. It pumps 2,300 or so gallons per minute. So again, a workhorse. And the cool thing, as you can see in the photo, is that it includes a 3 million gallon buried reservoir. So you'll see that big open space at the top of the photo. You kind of see the curvature, or like the curvilinear shape of it. That entire thing is a underground buried reservoir. So there's people that may use the space from the community. There's community gardens right next to it. What I really love about this space is with it being in its location on campus near the lake and, by, student housing and hospital and all these fields and things like that, it's great for wellhead protection. So Kind of allowing the community gardens and allowing, this reservoir to be buried on top of a green or under a green space and things like that, really speaks to not only the campus's kind of initiative when it comes to, resiliency and green infrastructure and things like that, but really just as a city of Madison and really for us especially keeping that wellhead protection area, that zone really really cleared of any kind of non conforming uses and things like that. Other than that, well 19, as I mentioned, it does have some of the highest pumping capacity throughout the system, and that large 3 gallon 3 million gallon buried reservoir, and it typically runs year round. So again, this is a very very important project. This is why it's important for us to keep this well in particular operating at the highest levels possible mechanically, but also when it comes to distributing the highest quality water, as this is an integral piece of the puzzle that is our drinking water system. So as I mentioned, it will this treatment project or this treatment will or system will actually remove three naturally occurring contaminants: iron, manganese, and radium. All three of these contaminants risk exceeding their federally regulated maximum contaminant levels. Iron and manganese are considered secondary contaminants by the EPA and are regulated for aesthetic considerations, such as taste and color, while radium is actually a primary contaminant and it is regulated to protect human health. So well construction, I think Adam mentioned it, construction for well 19 actually started a few months ago back in May, right around the time that we did the groundbreaking for well 15. But planning for this project actually started back in April of 2017, when the Water Utility Board gave recommendation and approval for staff to hire an engineering consulting firm to assist with the pilot testing, conceptual design, all the way into final design. So we actually began the pilot testing in 2018, and fast forward some years, 5 or 6 years later, multiple design phases later, with each phase being informed by public input, of course, with our public meetings that we had along the way, and the project's finally underway. So this is, as Adam alluded to, this is a really, really cool project, and it's just now starting to heat up. You can kind of see there where there's like that discoloration in the middle of the photo. That's where the generators were and things like that. So you can kind of see that this photo is after things were kind of cleared and removed, and them starting to stage for the new kind of orientation of the driveway, so that it could have better access and things like that. As I mentioned, what's really important to UW is, or what was really important is working collaboratively with UW as this is on their land. So getting through planning approvals, getting through you name it, part or their landscape architect, landscape architecture and design kind of approvals and things like that. And the view sheds are really important. Anyone that's been out here on the trails and things like that understand how important these view sheds are. So we're just glad that we're able to work with them collaboratively, and this is going to be a great project. The last thing I'll say, which I always say about these projects, is that these projects really highlight our commitment to providing high quality water to our community. The expectation for this project is to actually have the well be operational by fall of 2025. But that's all I got.
Okay. Any questions for Marcus? Okay. Seeing none, could we have a motion to approve the five reports that I believe it's five that we have each month? Eric, I'm going to have you move approval, and Charles is going to second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, and without objection, we approve it. Jody, I believe we are now at the evaluation phase of the meeting. Did you assign anyone to lead the evaluation?
Yes, I did not assign anyone, so please feel free to do so.
Okay. Is there a volunteer? Okay, I didn't see a volunteer, so I guess I'll volunteer. Okay, Charles, thank you, Charles. Go ahead.
All members actively participate in discussion, and all members have opportunities to voice opinions, positions on agenda topics. I think that was fully met. Members come prepared and engage in discussing by reviewing materials provided prior to the meeting. I think everybody was prepared and engaged well. If you could scroll up for me, please.
Yeah.
Members engaged in active listening and avoid interruption others' speakers. I think everybody did a great job with that, especially since we're all unmuted. members' opinions and respect the viewpoints expressed by other members. Nobody argued with each other. Members, WUB, procedures and policies as outlined in WUB policy book. Fully met. Members represent the collective interest of current and future Madison residents. Fully met. Members have decision based on equity principles, considering the decision's impact on all residents. The decision-making process consider who benefits, who's burdened, who does not have a voice at the table, who can policies mitigate unintended consequences. I think we all think about others when we're making these decisions. I think it's fully met.
Okay, thank you, Charles. And thank you, board members, for being here tonight and for the staff for their preparation of the agenda, and Jody and Krishna for your work and getting us back into the virtual mode for a few months as well. So with that, we'll take a motion.
Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. Krishna, did you have a comment or?
I did. I'm so sorry. There was some auto muting. You know, I get muted every 10 seconds, so I had to run to Jody to get myself unmuted. That's why I looked a little stressed, but my apologies, but we'll get it right. Thank you.
Okay.
Pat, we need to approve the report. Is that what you're going to make the motion for, all those reports?
I think we did.
Did we?
Yes. And
We did. Thank you. Sorry. Okay. You're right. Thank you.
And could we have a motion to adjourn? Looks like Charles or Deb motions to adjourn. Do we have a second? Charles will second, and without objection, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Do, 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 do.